Good morning, Rob. How are you? Hold on. Let me get Dave on here, too.
Okay, great.
Dave, you gone?
I'm on.
All right, we got Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
I'm here, too, Rick and Dave. Good morning, guys.
You are.
All the way from Center City, Philadelphia.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for making the effort, Emily.
Love to be it. Hate missing it.
Yeah. Anyway, well, good. I'm glad, Rob, we got a little confused last, not confused, but it was just a miscommunication last month. I tried to cancel, but I canceled too late on it.
Well, no problem. What's on your mind, and how was the last several weeks?
Well, the last several weeks have been good. I've been on vacation a few times. we've been down the beach a lot, playing a lot of tennis, but the one thing, we'll just give you some follow-up on the, that we're still, I mean, hasn't converted into a client, but we're having conversations, and we're sending out, we actually, from the tennis event that we had.
Yep.
So here's one simple win, and I never realized how powerful LinkedIn is because I don't use it, to be very honest with you. I put a picture, we did a group picture there of all of us at the Philly Cricket on the grass. And I basically, I guess, what is it, Dave, tagged? I tagged some of the people who I'm already, who were there, who were LinkedIn. And without doing anything, I get this, I guess I get a report of, and I had, within the first, like, two, I haven't looked at it recently, but there was over 2,000 views of that picture.
Wow.
Does that sound like, I mean, is that insane? I don't know, I mean, I think you're a pretty active user of LinkedIn, but.
Yeah. I've had 5,000, 5,500.
Wow.
It is particularly effective if you put up a picture.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all I did. I put a picture, I did something about, you know, proud to host a world-class event at Philly Cricket, yada, 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 something like that, real simple. And next thing I know, it's like, and then it was sort of giving you a breakdown of people looking at it and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't have this advanced piece of LinkedIn. It's just some very basic stuff. But I was shocked. I kept telling Dave and Emily, I said, there's 1,000 people looking at it. Now 1,500 and 2,000. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Well, I mean, it's LinkedIn is very effective as a way of communicating. You guys are, you know, it just depends. If you can, the best way and effectively use LinkedIn is to put a picture up and then write an article using the theme of the picture. Okay? And you'll get a bunch of hits, and they'll read the article. They'll really read the article. Now, the best is obviously original content, but you know we've got compliance issues and all that.
Right.
But if you can write up an article on something that would be interesting for folks in terms of marketing, you know, then you become a thought leader. And it really works. I mean, I would take pictures, I'd take pictures of hikes, and I'd be with a young, my buddy's nephew, and I'd be pointing out, a mountain peak, and that picture then would be a great picture to use as the top of an article on leadership and mentoring, and I get 5,500 hits on that.
Wow. Well, that's crazy. That was the first time I've done it, and I said, well, we got to pay attention to this a little more and just do those things. But and even from Emily was shocked when we even looked at this, Rob. This was such a cost-effective. I mean, we did that whole thing, Emily, for what, $1,500, $1,600?
$1,490, I think.
Well, we didn't count the sharks, though. The sharks are going to be extra, I guess, right? Or is Ted picking those up?
I see that as a sunk cost for when Ted duck in, so I'm not counting that.
Ted was generous. We were going to give a couple shirts to the, you know, top couple teams. Ted said, no, everybody gets a shirt. So we literally, they had to send them out because they didn't have enough on stock. So we just got them back last week. So we're now going to be sending out shirts with a handwritten note and a picture of that whole group to each one as a follow-up. Now, it's a little bit late, I mean, but we got...
No, that's perfect. No, that's perfect. It's not too late. Okay. It's perfect timing. Yes, here. You got a good feeling, right? Everybody had good feeling? You send out the shirt? Then you just continue it. You know, as soon as they get the get the shirt and the picture and the note, they're like, wow, these guys are awesome.
Okay.
You know, it's just, the more you can continue the feeling, the more leverage you get out of the event.
Wow, okay. Good. Well, that's our next step, which we're going to do now. And then one of the guys, you know, again, and I think you've mentioned this a lot, of just thinking of people for the invitations who could not make it.
I've gotten
some responses already, and especially one of the guys who is from Zanet Sea Colony, and he's the general counsel of SoFi. And he said, Rick, he said, definitely next year. He said, I wish I could have made it this year, but I'm definitely coming next year. Now, and he just shared with me, now he's one of the original, you know, top 20 people at SoFi, and he's the general counsel, but he, you know, there was just an article in the journal last week that they might go public in another year or so. And I mentioned it. I said, hey, I heard it. And he goes, no, I'm going to be out of there before then. He said, so he's not going to retire within the next year. And then I had a chance to talk to his wife, and I was saying, you know what? I said, Lorraine, I said, we're going to get you guys on board by, you know, because Rob's ready to retire. You know, so we just had some nice general conversations, but it was all around tennis.
Yeah, that's the medium that connects you guys. And so every time you talk, it's all about tennis, but then it's, oh, by the way.
Right.
You know, and that can be one, it's, you know, it's such a comfortable thing for people. Very trusting, and it's wonderful. Congratulations.
The other piece regarding that, then I'll get into another topic of what really we've been having a lot of in the last 3-4 weeks, but so one of the other... I actually invited, he's one of our institutional consultants here at UBS, and I work with them on this one account, but I brought them in, and so Dave is a tennis player. So he was like my last one, I had an open spot, and I asked him if he wanted to attend, and he said, absolutely. So he came, and he had a great time, and then I was just doing this impromptu, conversation at dinner about, you know, how tennis brings us all together, how we all the commonalities, and how, you know, we help each other. And I don't know how it came out. It wasn't planned, and it just came out. I said, here's Dave, for example. I said, we met through tennis, and because of tennis, I, you know, trusted him, and I invite, you know, we partnered on an institutional account, which we got, and I said it was a great thing, and I said, Dave, because Dave is one of Barron's top 20 institutional consultants, him and his team. And so I mentioned that. So, and he's a pretty low-key guy, and Emily knows. And so on Monday, he said, Rick, he said, not only did I love, you know, being there, he said, thank you for inviting me, but he said, he said, I never would have done it, but he said, because I'm not good at that. He said, but thank you for, you know, the kind words and the recognition you gave me at the dinner. And I said, Dave, I just, you know, it was natural. Anyway, so last week he calls me and he said, hey, Rick, I have just want to first run something by you. So they do, you know, obviously, you know, retirement plans, endowments, but large plans. So he has this large company plan in Princeton. And they, you know, he does all the 401k stuff and all, but they don't do any individual business with any executives or anything like that. And he was approached by the human resources people because it's a private company. They did an ESOP, and I think the way it works is when someone leaves the company, They can't carry forward this private stock. They have to liquidate. So he was doing this whole presentation on NUA, that unrealized appreciation.
Yeah.
And he was saying, but he said, Rick, I don't do this. He said, I don't work with him. And he said, I just thought of you and the way your team and Dave's expertise with, you know, financial planning, that we may have opportunities there to do a lot of individual work with their executives. He said, would you be interested? I said, hey, let's talk about it. So we're actually going to have a talk with them. And Dave, tell them about that company. And again, what the connection is even now.
Yeah, so the company, they're like a data analytic, data research type firm. They're a privately held firm that, and the reason why this whole NUA came up, so Dave Eisen, the institutional consultant, him and his partner, and I guess technically this is more of like Dave's client or relationship, and he's been managing their 401k, which is probably north, I think, what Ricky said, $250 million.
Yeah, something.
It's a 12, probably between 1,000 and 1,500 employees, privately held, and they're primarily based in Princeton, but they have offices in, I believe, Cambridge, and also down in D.C., and a couple smaller locations on the West Coast. And he had mentioned that a lot of the participants of the 401k, including some of the higher level executives, they have an ESOP plan. Now it's interesting, it's an ESOP plan, but it's for privately held shares that the employees own. So upon termination, whether voluntary or involuntarily, they ultimately have to get bought out of the ESOP plan by the company. And it happens, there's like one distribution period per year. I think there's like one or two opt-out windows every given year where any type of separation from the firm, you get ultimately, you can't take the privately held shares with you, so the ESOP plan buys those shares back from you. And you leave with cash. That's what now is an option for the employees is whether or not they want to institute an NUA strategy, meaning that if, let's just say, they have $1 million worth of this privately held shares, they're able to, when they get that $1 million of cash out, they can either roll it directly over all pre-tax into an IRA, or they can actually take the proceeds and pay for the NUA strategy, pay ordinary income on the cost basis of those shares and capital gains on the gains within the shares. So pretty much his presentation is, here's how NUA works. Here are your options, which is go full NUA, do a partial NUA, or do a full tax deferral rollover into an IRA with the cash proceeds from the ESOP plan. What makes it so enticing to us is that technically upon every separation that happens, if we can become kind of the recommended provider of running the financial plan, talking about the different strategies and distributions, but incorporating financial planning around it, there's technically two rollovers happening at once. It's the ESOP rollover and the 401k rollover for every employee leaving. So it truly is a great opportunity. And, the fact that Princeton, which is obviously in our backyard, and Dave has been managing the 401k for over 10 years, and obviously has a great track record, and people like them and know them and trust them. And then the other connection is the other advisor that I work with in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. His brother-in-law, who is a client of this other advisor, he's the COO of this company. So there's a lot of coincidentally, and so the fact that he's influential, I think he's been with the company for probably 8 to 10 years, is in a very high-level position within the company. And the fact that we can kind of come in with a not only a warm introduction from Dave, but also, and I know this other advisor's brother-in-law, I happen to know him as well, that we can kind of have a warm introduction from Dave and kind of that, from the COO of the company to say, hey, I like these guys, I know these guys, and, so I think it could be a really great opportunity.
How will you work it out with the other FA?
Well, here's the thing. So Dave, they don't do any individual, private wealth management. So he,
there's nothing, it's, I think that part can be discussed if there's anything any extent yet. In my personal opinion, I think it's obviously going to be Rick and I going in at first,
yeah.
Seeing what the actual needs are, seeing if there's going to be traction. Listen, if there's, you know, hundreds of employees that want to work with us, then I think incorporating kind of a broader team that that we have might make some sense just from a capacity standpoint. But, you know, I don't know how yet we're going to
approach. Yeah, we don't know. We're going to talk to Dave Eisen, the institutional guy, later today, and just kick this around and see what his thoughts are, because his thoughts were, like he said, after meeting, I've worked with them, with you know, him and his partner on his, you know, this other account, and so they trust me, I trust them. And then when he found out how we put this team, adding Dave Ostrom, or, you know, in his background with financial planning, he just said, I love the way, you know, your team has come together, and this would be, he thinks it would be a great fit. That's how he approached me on it. So we're going to see. We're going to see where it leads.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. One of the things that you want to do is sort of try and encourage a regular scheduled process to be in there. So it's not a, you know, it's not something that you have to think about very much.
Right.
Meaning, these things happen twice a year. Is it twice a year they price it?
I think here I have a packet right in front of me, but I believe it was the window is okay. So it says distribution notices are sent in April following the year of departure, and in the decisions there's one decision prod or period call it, which is between April and June of each year. And the distributions are actually processed in July. So it looks like everything's sent to April after the year of departure. So anyone who leaves this year from the firm, they're sent a notice the following April, and they have a 2 or 3 month window to decide which strategy or option they want to use in order to get whatever the payment is technically processed in July.
Well, that's a little bit different, isn't it, huh? Because they're not going to be there.
Exactly.
They're not going to be physically on the premises.
Correct. So, yeah, it says that the notices are sent in April following the year of departure. So, at that point, they're no longer going to be at the firm. And that's what makes it a little bit interesting, because it's, you know, not working with people, you know, while they're working, taking it. And these are all going to be, and I believe, I didn't see anything in here. I'm assuming it's both voluntarily and involuntarily, but maybe there is something with the ESOP that says if you're terminated for reasons X, Y, and Z, there's no distribution that you get. I don't know the details. Well, I have to ask Dave Eisen that.
Okay, so you guys have got to become an expert on this, okay?
Yeah.
You got to really know it as well as their HR director. You got to get to know the HR director. And then you got to understand the politics of this. And be very sensitive to it. Meaning, you know, it's not like regular retirement plan where you do regular rollover seminars and you can just schedule yourself in. That would be the best thing, by the way, if you could. Because right. then you hit a broader audience that could just do this for executives, too. Which should fit more with your profile of what you're looking for. And that's why I was interested in the other FA, because maybe you guys do the executives and he does the general population, and then he's happy and you're happy and life's good.
Right.
You can build it. We built these relationships, as I'm sure you guys have and other people have, but you build these relationships to the point where literally they gave us an office to work. And we knew more than the HR director about how the whole thing ran.
Well, that's why I think Eisen is that close with the HR, because the HR people approached him and they said, you know, they want to do a, you know, company-wide presentation on this NUA stuff, and Dave Eisen was working on it, and he just, you know, gave it to us, but then he, you know, he's thinking about how do we implement this. That's where he's thinking we can get involved.
He doesn't want any. Right, so he doesn't want anything to do with this. He just doesn't want it screwed up.
Bingo. So, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And he doesn't want to shed a bad light on him. He wants to make sure that, you know, he's going to kind of present the information, say, here's how it works, here are your different options. And now, in terms of what I would recommend, I'm going to leave that up to Dave and Rick, and if you want to work with them, we'll run the plans and run the different scenarios for you and help you choose what the best strategy is for you personally. That's kind of, and he's kind of doing hands-off, you know,
right.
This is not my specialty, but I can definitely explain how it all works, and I've been close with the company, and now it's up to you guys to decide if you want to work with them to figure out.
Yeah. All right, so you guys want to be brought in as a specialist in this area.
That's correct.
Okay. And then you need to really listen, because you're going to hear things at different levels on this thing. Because, you know, because of what you just said, I mean, people are being fired and therefore they're gone. Therefore, you know, how do we get back in touch with them? I want you to follow up. I want you to be a service, but your primary client is the HR department. And so you've got to be very sensitive to the politics of the relationships and how everything happens. And so you kind of want to brainstorm with them and asking all the time their opinion. You know, how do you think this would best work? How can we be most effective in helping these people? You know, for a typical person leaving, how do we reduce their anxiety? How do we help them? How do we make you guys feel comfortable? And so, you know, you really have to be in there, not telling, but really asking a lot of questions and getting a sense of how the best way to arrange this, because this is different, you know.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah. And it's interesting also between, again, let's just say employees or executives, you know, are thinking about leaving and they want to contact us. You almost have to draw that sort of, you know, we're trying to help the firm, the company, but we're also trying to help the individuals. There's almost like a Chinese wall between the two, because potentially, and obviously with how this would work, would be, you know, the employees or executives potentially coming to us and saying, hey, I'm thinking about leaving. The company doesn't know this yet. So can we sit down in confidence and talk about what my options are and how this would all work for me financially? And or, you know, I had this new job lined up, and obviously, you know, you don't want to be seem like too buddy-buddy with HR, because you don't want them to think that, you know, the confidence is not there.
Yeah, so you really have, that's the kind of political sensitivity you've got to, I mean, it's like guys saying to me, you know, I'm thinking about leaving the firm during a conference call with me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm hired by UBS, and here I am, you know. So I really have to. I can't say much, right? I mean, I got to be really politically correct on those things.
Yeah.
And so do you. You know, you want to give them basically their rights. Right? You want to give them what they're entitled to without saying whether or not that's a good idea or not, you know. They kind of, because they're like weighing whether they should leave or not. And so you want to always make it that this ESOP is a good deal. Now, keep in mind that these ESOPs for private companies are priced. I mean, they have their own stock market.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do it based on book value or, you know, multiple book value, or somehow they price the stock. And so you need, you know, you'll know what that is.
Yep.
And then every year they reprice it. You do the calculations. And this will be a lot of fun. A fun deal.
And yeah, Dave was saying that the company stock, the ESOP stock, has been growing up, growing faster than the market, so they've all accumulated very nice amounts of money there, and a lot of it's some of the
right.
Seven figures. And
the 401k, you got to think for 1,000 employees is a $250 million 401k. So just the average 401k is, you know, $2.5 million.
And guys, this can be a specialty for you, okay? you know how we've been talking about niches, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Industry niches, well, private companies, you know, private company ESOPs, that can be a niche.
Yeah.
Becoming an expert in this is not just a one-time, and sometimes you go crazy because you have to do this one-time deal and learn everything about it, but I think this is very translatable to other ESOPs and other companies, and Dave can, you know, obviously he's in a position, this is his only client.
Right, okay? Oh yeah.
So,
he even mentioned that.
Yeah, Emily is one of those things that you want to work your butt off.
Yeah. Now, Emily has, now, because she was, because they're in our Philly office. And Emily, I mean, they don't, and Dave pretty much, Dave Eisen, the consultant, told me that they don't want to deal with, they just don't have time. They don't have capacity. They don't want to deal with individuals. But they're getting a lot of questions. And
absolutely. And I think to the specialist's comment earlier, Rob, you know, being able to position Dave as that financial planning expert, I think is a huge differentiator for them. You know, I think currently they utilize a WPA, which in our world is kind of like a trainee, you know, and
yeah.
Dave has a CFP. He's done this so many times. So I think being able to position Dave and Rick as those specialists makes a huge difference. And make them a preferred kind of partner.
And I think if you guys go in with that kind of mantra that you're really financial planning specialists, that is much more comfortable for HR and for Dave to position you than your financial advisors looking for business.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Okay?
Yeah. So... I think in this case, Dave Ice is leading he's driving the bus. We are going to do, you know, we want to make him comfortable. So we show him in his best light that we just do the right thing for them.
And keep in mind, you know, he's a center of influence now.
Oh,
and you can, you know, meeting with, I mean, just think about this. He's been there the whole time, right?
Yep.
So where have we been?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Center of influences are sometimes right under our nose and we don't even see them.
Yeah.
And so a monthly meeting with him, and I mean, just what you did for him, and that's your natural, Rick, that's your natural self. Okay?
Right.
And that's why, yeah, that's why it worked and that's why he likes you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pretend to do that. You have to just do, you just have to do more of it. And just try and think and raise your awareness of who else is inside your purview. You know, just because they work for the company doesn't mean they can't be a center of influence.
Yeah.
I mean, Emily can be a center of influence, a very good one, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
She is.
Right. We'll have to meet periodically, having that conversation with Emily about who she knows.
Yeah.
And who would be a good fit for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just looking, Rob, there's so that we will keep you updated on that because we're going to have this conversation with Dave Eisen, the consultant, right, you know, today probably. There's two other pieces I just wanted to run by you, though. So, as you know from this tennis, we brought down our client Sam Rasty and from Fix,
yes.
And Clark, yeah. Who was the executive recruiter. And I might have mentioned, I don't know if I did or not, but as it turns out, there was another executive recruiter from the D.C. area. Him and Clark ended up, they know Clark very, very well. So,
yeah, they talked about
it. Okay, I talked to you about that. So anyway, here's the next part of this is, I think I told you, Clark holds and it's for a charity called Tenacity, which is inner city education through tennis, stuff like that. But his event is at the Longwood Cricket in September. And he does it with what he calls the venture capitalists versus the entrepreneurs. So he said they don't really, as advisors, he said if the advisors want to participate, it's as a sponsor. And he said, Rick, you know, so I said, send me the information, I'll see what I can do. So we were looking at it. It's a $2,500 sponsorship, and I get to market myself. I get all this other stuff to do it. And Emily and I were kicking it around, and because this other event was so cost-effective, we thought we were going to be spending a lot more money, that I may do it, and also because I'm sure I'm going to get an opportunity to talk about the event that we did and invite more people from there down. And I'm sure I'm going to get endorsed by Sam and Clark because they experienced what we did in Philly. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I love it. I love it. I think it's wonderful.
Okay.
I think you're supporting him. You want to go in there as a friend.
Yep.
More like a friend than a sponsor.
Okay.
And be one of the guys. Try and be one of the guys as much as you can. And just be yourself. You're great at this.
And support him, and then, but I, like I said, I could see how then Clark would say, now, he's going to talk about our event. I just know it. I mean, this way, remember like you said, it's always better to have somebody else talk about it, about me than myself? I really believe Clark will do that naturally about, how we hosted him and Sam and how we had a great event, and then next year we're going to look, to build it a little, even more.
Well, look what you did. Look what you did for Dave Eisen, right?
Yeah.
That was great. Right. Okay, so he'll do that for you. And
yeah.
So is this the only event that's going to be at Longwood Cricket Club?
What do you mean?
Or do you play up there when you play with Sam?
Oh, they have a couple of, like, we played in the winter, so it was at an indoor club, so I've not been there during the, summertime.
During the summer, yeah. Yeah, I just like the idea of your cricket club and their cricket club kind of having something going on,
Okay. So we're going to do that then. So Emily agreed. I mean, again, the cost is like, wow, it's coming out pretty good. All right, well, we're going to do that, and that's in September up in Boston, and we're going to, we actually have a couple clients up there now, which we're going to tie around a meeting with, so it's working out well. And the last piece before, we're running out of remember, I mentioned this to you on one of the last calls, that John Hogan, we were proposing to really consolidate all his assets, and we had the call scheduled, everything was going, and then he got on with me and he said, Rex, he said, before we even get, I don't want to get Dave on here, I want to talk to you personally. And he told me about his, the prostate cancer issue he's going through.
Right.
So he said, I just want to, let me get this done. And then, so he's actually going to be operated on next Monday. Yep. So a couple times I reached out. I mean, I texted him and his wife, and, told him I'm supporting them. I'm there for them. I'm offering my prayers to them, to get through. And then I called John last week, and I went right to his voicemail, and I just said, hey, John, I'm just thinking about you. I just want to see if you want to talk about anything, give me a buzz. And he did call me back the next day, and he basically just said, I just can't thank you enough for thinking of me. And this is different from John Hogan, who's a tough son of a bitch.
yeah, I know.
He was, and I told him, I said, John, I don't know how your faith life is, but I hope you don't mind. I said that I'm going to offer my prayers because that's something that I believe in and I do think. And he actually said no. He said, I appreciate, and he said, he just expressed his appreciation so much. And again, this is not his. So I think this is going to change him as a person, to go, how he's viewing things. I mean, I could tell. Because this is, it's not a slam dunk from what his, he was telling me about some of these scores he was getting.
You told me his Gleason scores were pretty high.
Yeah. And I never even knew about Gleason scores. And, so I guess it's almost a risk of that spreading or moving beyond.
Yeah, yeah. The Gleason score indicates the amount that the cancer spread beyond the prostate.
Yeah. So that's, we don't know. So like I said, but Rob, we have had, so many clients in the last month who are going through serious, you know, another one with leukemia. But now, you know, we're getting involved because we have these close relationships. They're calling.
Really?
I mean, they're talking about their personal stuff, how scared they are, you know. And now, I mean, I just want to say I'm there for them. And just to, I mean, I say I offer my prayers to you for strength and courage to get through this. But it is uncanny. I mean, Dave, I mean, just all these people that in the last...
Heart issue. I mean, I guess it's something, you know, kind of somewhat unfortunate testament to, you know, we have... No, for the majority of our client base is, you know, in that, you know, 55 to 75 age range. And unfortunately, that's when you hear a lot of this, you know, cancer diagnosis or heart issue, even, you know, whether it's, you know, clients, prospects, there's people we've been kind of trying to drip on and network with, and now's not a good time. My wife has this, or I just got diagnosed with that. And it just seems like it's been, at least the past few months, there's just been a lot of it, unfortunately.
All right, let me give you guys some ideas here. This is the really important stuff. He will change. Of course it's going to change. And he's scared right now.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do is, I mean, you feel kind of helpless, right? There's not much you can do.
Oh.
Well, here's one of the things. I've got, you know, the blessing and the curse, of course, is that you go through this stuff. The blessing is you come out the other side and you are... You know, you have accurate empathy for people going through it. The people that have gone through it are comfortable talking about this stuff, and people that haven't are generally not. They don't know what to say and all that.
Right.
So, you know, I've told you guys I have chronic lymphocytic lymphoma, which is a blood disease. It's a leukemia. Mm. And it's a chronic disease, meaning it's incurable, but it's treatable. So it's more like AIDS. You know, if you treat it with pills, and then it goes into remission, and then when it raises its head up again, you treat it. All right, so one of the biggest challenges that I had was that really to understand the disease, it's pretty complex, and everybody's individual case is different. And doctors only tell you so much, and particularly one of the interesting things is when you're there with the doctor, a lot of times your brain isn't working the way it should.
Yeah.
Because you're scared. And
right.
So when you're nervous or scared, your brain kind of shuts down. So then you come out of the doctor's office and you think of questions you should have asked, and there's not much to read. You go on the internet. It's very confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So there's a book. I'm leading up to this. There's a company called MediFocus Guidebook. MediFocus, MediFocus Guidebook. Mm. And it's called MediFocus.com Inc. And what they do is they put together a very understandable summary of the disease.
Huh.
And then they give you all the clinical trials that are presently going on.
Wow.
And then all of the medications that are available for that disease. And then all the hospitals that treat it.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I recommend reaching in your pocket and sending your client this, and they do it for each disease,
mm.
and sending him this book. So I have a, you know, it's probably a 100-page, I don't know, 100-page book, mm. you know, big book on chronic lymphocytic lymphoma, exactly my disease.
Wow.
It was the best thing I did. The homework found it. And then ordered it, and then it came, but in the back is all the different treatments. So when somebody says, you know, this is the newest and greatest, and I can go back and read about the newest and greatest. And these things take years to develop. I've got a note in here. Bob Hegstrom, one of my buddies who has this disease, and this was the treatment that he got, and this is what he used.
Wow.
Rituxan. So it's really interesting, because I just had another guy that I met on my fishing trip I was just on, who has a much more serious version of this, and I told him to email me, and I will send him a copy of this.
Wow.
That's good. Yeah. You see, so you're actually doing something.
Yeah.
And you send a personal note with it. Everybody runs away from sick people.
Hmm.
And you guys should run towards them.
Right.
Okay? And it's a time in their life they'll never forget. Now, he'll go back to being a jerk once he's healthy. Okay?
I would think this would be, you know, one of those shake-up sets, say, wait a second, what's important here?
Right. But he'll never forget you. And he'll act different with you than he does with other people.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you were there when he was at his weakest and most vulnerable. So you'll have a different relationship with him.
Yeah.
So I've seen him, both sides. I've seen how the whole transition. Guys are tough. Again, he goes back to being who he was.
Yeah.
But to the people that were kind to him, he'll always have a special place in his heart.
Yeah.
He
said, Rick, he said, I'll let you know. He said that you're on his wife's, he said, my wife Diane will be texting you. You're on, one of the people that will be getting a text, as soon as the surgery's over. So, that was nice that he, put me up there with his family and friends that are important to him.
Now, both my brothers had prostate cancer. So, obviously, I get checked regularly. But we've, as a family, we've had friends my age, my brother's friends, we've probably had 6 or 7 die of prostate cancer.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
So it's not a casual disease, and what he's experiencing is very life-threatening.
So that, by like you said, you understand the Gleason scores, and that's like the red flag on that one.
Yeah, it's very life-threatening at this point.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
It's not routine.
Right.
Okay, so know that going into this. So if he does need to do, he should be doing some preparations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He did say that's what he said, look, I've been putting off some of the estate stuff, like his wills and all that. So he said, I have been, he said, naturally, I have to catch up with some of that stuff because I've been putting it off. And, again, we're here for them. That's my message.
Yeah.
We're here for you, whatever you need. And, but this is what it's just a personal thing. I said, I'll be there with you, but I'll, give you my prayers for your strength and courage to deal with, to get through it.
Right. Yeah. 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 And be optimistic and be yourself and don't be sad and all that. But it is very serious. Yeah.
But it's just, too many, but it literally was so many, and so there's, but I guess maybe the good part, because we have a deeper relationship with these clients, they're sharing their, I had the one sister on yesterday of another client, and she was crying, telling me how scared she was, and all this other stuff, and how, the client, trusts me, and, they appreciate everything I'm doing, and I'm just there, I'm not just doing anything.
No, it's amazing. Supernova takes the client, and what happens to the relationship over time, it's like a flower that gradually unfolds, leaf petal by petal, call by call, until finally the flower is completely unfolded. And the client is willing to share with you everything about their life.
Yeah.
It completely changes the relationship. And so it goes from this talking about money
yeah.
to talking about their whole life. You become their life coach.
Yeah.
And the more you do things like this MetaFocus and the enthusiastically endorsed list,
yep.
The more you can really be of help to them. So one of the things to make a list, to force yourself to do, is to get that, make sure you're filling out that enthusiastically endorsed list in the folder.
Yeah.
All the advisors that the client has, their phone numbers, so that when something like this happens, you know who to call. If the wife is in trouble, the husband's really sick, you can call the CPA.
Yeah.
You can call some of these people with her permission to make sure people know what's going on. And then you become the family confidant. You become the family advisor. And it's a special place. And it enhances the joy of the job.
Yeah. Wow. It's life.
Yeah, it becomes very meaningful opportunity to serve.
Yeah.
And you have the great attitude. So you become, yeah. you know, that person that everybody goes to.
Well, this so, is great. Anyway. I appreciate that. And we will keep you updated. I'll let you know about Hogan because that's going to be Monday. So on our next call, we'll have, you know, some updates on him because, you know, just from it, forget about professionally, but personally, you just hope the best for him and that this, you know, if he comes out, this is going to be an eye-opener and we'll see. We'll see.
Right. Good. He will be different with you, trust me.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, great, guys. Terrific call. And
yes.
thanks for being so enthusiastic about the process.
Hey, Rob, you know what? It's just like one of the things I read this morning. I do these little readings, and it talks about, you know, knowledge is, you know, we know we should do, but action is what it does. This is the action part. Everybody knows what they got to do. It's the action of doing it. And
right.
this is just helping us keep, you know, that action going. And as you know, more action breeds more. It just brings on more stuff, which is great.
Yeah, you're going to have the Longwood thing is going to work out great because of you and your attitude and how much fun you're going to have there. Don't go into it expecting anything.
Right.
Meaning you're just there to have fun and meet people and just enjoy yourself and sure you can have a banner and put your name on the sponsor and all that stuff,
right.
but that's not why you're there. You're there to meet people and have fun and talk about next year's event and all that stuff. And then guess what? Good things are gonna happen.
I love it.
All right. Good.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Enjoy, guys.
Okay. All right, Rob. Take care. Bye, guys.